This is day 34 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and I'm glad you're still with us. I do believe that you are planting seeds which will become mighty oaks in your spiritual life. When you're completed, you'll see, and you'll begin to see, some of the fruit that will be harvested as a result of your persisting and dedication to this project. We're looking at the exaltation of Christ, having looked yesterday at his humiliation. We'll start with the shorter catechism, question 28. Wherein consisteth Christ's exaltation? Answer: Christ's exaltation consisteth in his rising again from the dead on the third day, in ascending up into heaven, in sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and in coming to judge the world at the last day. The larger catechism, in one of those rare examples where the shorter catechism is actually somewhat larger than the larger catechism, question 51 asks, what was the estate of Christ's exaltation? And answers, the estate of Christ's exaltation comprehendeth his resurrection, ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and his coming again to judge the world. Let's look at the proof texts. For the proposition that Christ's exaltation consisteth in his rising again from the dead on the third day, we have 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. In ascending up into heaven, Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. For the proposition, in sitting at the right hand of God the Father, we also have Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And finally, in coming to judge the world at the last day, we have Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The larger catechism at question 51, pretty much the same answer and exactly the same scripture proof texts. But the larger catechism, of course, expands the whole answer into separate questions and looks at them in much greater detail, just as it did when we looked at Christ's humiliation. So we'll pick up with larger catechism question 52, which asks, how was Christ exalted in his resurrection? So looking specifically at the resurrection, the answer is, Christ was exalted in his resurrection in that, not having seen corruption and death, of which it was not possible for him to be held, and having the very same body in which he suffered, with the essential properties thereof, but without mortality, and other common infirmities belonging to this life, really united to his soul, he rose again from the dead the third day by his own power, whereby he declared himself to be the Son of God, to have satisfied divine justice, to have vanquished death and him that had the power of it, and to be Lord of the quick and the dead, all which he did as a public person, the head of his church, for their justification, quickening in grace, support against enemies, and to assure them of their resurrection from the dead at the last day. Okay, let's look at it piece by piece, phrase by phrase. Christ was exalted in his resurrection in that, not having seen corruption in death, of which it was not possible for him to be held, we have Acts 2:24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And having the very same body in which he suffered, with the essential properties thereof, we're directed to Luke 24:39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So, same body with the essential properties, but without mortality and other common infirmities belonging to this life, and really united to his soul. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. He rose again from the dead on the third day by his own power. John 10:18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Okay, he rose again from the dead the third day by his own power, whereby he declared himself to be the Son of God. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And whereby he satisfied divine justice. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who maketh intercession for us. By this resurrection he vanquished death and him that had the power of it. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. He showed himself to be Lord of quick and dead. Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. All of which he did as a public person. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The head of his church. Ephesians 1:20-23, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He was raised on the third day for their justification, Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised for their quickening in grace. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. He rose on the third day for our support against enemies. 1 Corinthians 15:25-27, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And finally, raised on the third day to assure them of their resurrection from the dead at the last day. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Question 53, how was Christ exalted in his ascension? Answer, Christ was exalted in his ascension in that having after his resurrection often appeared unto and conversed with his apostles, speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and giving them commission to preach the gospel to all nations, 40 days after his resurrection, he, in our nature and as our head, triumphing over his enemies, visibly went up into the highest heavens, there to receive gifts for men, to raise up our affections thither, and to prepare a place for us, where he himself is and shall continue till his second coming at the end of the world. Let's look at the scripture proof texts. Christ was exalted in his ascension in that having, after his resurrection, often appeared unto and conversed with his apostles, speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, Acts 1, 2, and 3, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and giving them commission to preach the gospel to all nations. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. 40 days after his resurrection, he in our nature and as our head, Hebrews 6:20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and triumphing over his enemies, Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He visibly went up into the highest heavens, there to receive gifts for men. Acts 1:9-11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Ephesians 4:10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Psalm 68:18, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Okay, this he did to raise up our affections thither. Colossians 3:1-2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And to prepare a place for us, John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. To prepare a place for us where he himself is, and shall continue till his second coming at the end of the world. Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Tomorrow on day, 35, we'll cover the question 54, how is Christ exalted in his sitting at the right hand of God? And then question 55, how does Christ make intercession? Possibly, if we have time, we'll get to question 56, how is Christ to be exalted in his coming again to judge the world? And then we'll have completed the catechism's exposition of Christ's estate of exaltation. We'll see you tomorrow.